of simplicity and talking about today is the most important day to God, right? Today is important to God. It's the most important day. Why? Because he's working today, right? He had some things planned today, and the most important thing you can do today is to be in step with him, right? And I call that a posture of awareness, but probably someplace in here I'll say this again, but I really believe that is also a posture of prayer, right? Paul said, pray without ceasing. What he really said is don't miss any appropriate opportunity to pray. And there's so many appropriate opportunities to pray and to stop and to be aware, because prayer, what does prayer do? Prayer positions me to be aware of what God is doing. Prayer is not my laundry list of things I want God to do. I do that. I make specific requests and petitions. But prayer is so much about knowing what he is doing, right? Because so many of my requests are on a path, right? And he goes, let me lead you to that, right? It's an awareness of what he is doing. I would say that sometime this week, John got a nudge from the Holy Spirit. Why don't you go see Jada, right? Which put him on a path to right here this morning. It's just an awareness of what he is doing. And it was so important that John just responded to the nudge. Or maybe it was a shout. I don't know. And we experience that so often, but when that happens, it heightens our posture. I also want to talk about something else today that I was just thinking. There are times I pray a lot through the day, but I don't think about it, right? It's like I stop and I go, I should probably pray right here. Like, God, what are you doing right here? I'll ask that question. That's the beginning of a lot of my prayers. And so I'll just call it getting your posture on, right? Let's just call it getting your posture on, this posture of awareness, this posture of prayer, this posture of God's word. I'm going to say this, God's word is sufficient for every situation. For every situation, it's sufficient. And the Holy Spirit uses what we consume from the word of God to lead us, right? So to get our posture on, there's times that it's very appropriate to get our posture on. Okay, so this week I had a situation play out where I became very aware of my movement towards the trap of fear. And as I begin to focus on specifics about the situation in an effort to gain control over the outcome. So I found myself, it's just something that I would say is a healthy situation. It's something that's happening that's healthy. But I found myself looking at it, and I begin to gather facts and figures. And as I did that, I could feel, I just called it a tension that was building in me. And I begin to look and go, how is this going to play out? How am I going to get this to come out right? And all of the sudden, I heard on the inside just a thought that came, and it said, but God, but God. And it made me stop and go, wait a minute, what's going on here? Oh, that tension that I'm feeling build in me, that's the tension of fear. And what I'm doing out here in the gathering and trying to figure out how to control the outcome of that, that's called control. And guess what? This trap is set really close to something good that's going on. But what is God doing? Right? Because I want this to come out well. I want this to be an area of health. But one of the reasons that it hasn't been is because every time I get close, I get in the trap. And it's this trap of fear. I could feel it. I'm looking at it. I'm going, that's fear. That's fear. What I'm experiencing is fear, and there's a cycle. And I kind of want to walk through the cycle, because we need to recognize what's happening. If we learn something here and it doesn't benefit us outside of this building, it's worthless. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how many somersaults I do around it. If you can't use it when you get out of here, it's no good. right? You can take me into a showroom of a car lot and show me the nicest car that they have in the lot, but if I can't put the keys in the thing and drive it, it's worthless. It's just a showpiece. We don't need showpieces. We need functional pieces of equipment that work in our everyday living. And so I began to realize God is giving me some functional pieces of equipment to recognize unhealthy cycles and patterns in my life where I get stuck that keep me from moving into, right, the simplicity that he's trying to give me. It's the but God. But God is doing something. Today is very important to me. Are you interested in knowing what I'm... So what God did right there is he nudged me and he said, hey, buddy, this is an appropriate place to get the posture on. Do you have a posture of awareness about what I'm doing, or are you only concerned with seeing this play out the way you think it needs to play out? Can you trust me in the midst of the mess and know that I'm doing something? Or are you going to get stuck in the trap of fear and struggle and flail and die there? And I went, no, I don't want to be stuck in that trap. He goes, okay, well then get your posture on and trust me that I am doing something. So, it's interesting, and I kind of want to talk about what God said to me after that. I think I'm at that place in my notes. I realized when I heard this, but God, that in a split second, that God cared about the life that he is forming in this area that I was struggling with, and all I needed to do was look to his spirit and stay in step with what he was already doing. And it set me free to go on living and enjoying my week as I postured myself to be in step with him, okay? And because that day was important to God. He goes, I'm doing something here. Let me do it here. Don't get into the trap here because this is where you get stuck. The posture of awareness. So I want to tell you what so the Spirit did lead me. It's just sometimes they say, we want to be in step with the Spirit. That's pretty vague. What did he say? How did you lead me? Well, this is what happened. He pointed me back to the scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is so important that as followers of Christ, that we are in his word, not so we can look smart, not just so we can quote it, because this is what the Spirit will use to lead us, right? He's not going to use anything else. Jesus said he will take from what is mine. Jesus said, the Father has given me all things, and the Spirit is going to take from what the Father has given me. He's going to make it known to you, right? We have this in the scriptures. Now, here's what I've found. Just because I read it doesn't mean I always get it, but it's there, and guess who can come it back and make it alive? The Spirit. Right? That's what he does. He leads us in the truth. I read something and then I hold it and I go, okay, well, there's probably a whole lot more here than what I know, but I've studied it. I've looked at it. I don't even always remember it. Have you ever read something and years later it just comes back? I trust the Spirit to do that. He promises. He says, Jesus said, the Spirit will make known to you the things you need to know in that moment. And I lean on that a lot because I don't have photographic memory by any means, but I love the study of his word. The other interesting thing is, as you study it over time, there are certain things that really stick, and they become what I call the anchors, right? And anchor passages that I go back to again and again. And this happens to be one of those. He took me, the Spirit of God, in that moment, but God, and I'm like, okay, I got my posture back, right? Ooh, okay, God, you're doing something. How do I be in step with you? He took me back to scripture. And he set, this is so interesting, the word of God, what's another term that we use for the word of God? The bread of life, right? And Jesus was the living bread. And so what the Spirit did, much in line with Psalms 23, is he set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Now my enemy's there, he set the trap of fear. And God says, listen, come to this table. Here's what he took me back to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And he got specific with patience. The Spirit said, be patient as I am patient. Abide in my patience. He said, this is what it looks like to be in step with me today. It required no action of me, but patience. He goes, I just want you to know I have my hand on this. And I'm guiding this. And you can be a healthy part of this and move with this, or you can be unhealthy, maybe not even affect the situation, but certainly not be healthy in your walk with me and miss out on the joy of simplicity that I've set before you. Here's my table, right? A posture of awareness brings me to God's table. The Spirit of God will lead me and he will set the living bread before me. When Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray, give me this day my daily bread is not just physical substance, but spiritual as well. Behold, I set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Why? Because the enemy wants me in the trap. The shepherd wants to lead me in paths of righteousness. It's kind of interesting. Psalms 23 really came back into this week, and even more so after I stop and think about it. But so in Psalms 23, he says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, that fear is actually an action word. It's not just a feeling. It's an action word. I will not respond to the enemy and end up in fear. Right? The trap of fear. How do we end up in the trap of fear? Through control. How come I can live that way? Because he is with me. Now, the interesting thing about the valley of the shadow of death, when you read on it, it talks about a place where what is happening can be felt. And I think we need to get this, because fear is a feeling, and that's so many times what we associate it with, but fear is also an action. And that's what it speaks of here. It says, when I'm going through this place where what is happening can be felt, and trust me, I could feel it, right? This thing that I was responding to or wanted to respond to, that I wanted to take action, I could feel it. I could feel it pressing in on me. How many of you have ever been someplace and you just felt like something was pressing in on you? Right? I don't care if out in the woods, wherever. There are just times you go, I think maybe I'm in a bad spot, right? And you feel it. Okay, this is a great place to get your posture on. God, what are you doing right here? Because he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So if I'm not going to end up in the trap of fear, I got to get my posture of awareness on and go, God, you're with me. What are you doing? How do I stay out of the trap of fear? How do I not just try to gain control and make this work out? Because I can feel it and I need to make a choice. My enemy's here and you've set a table. What are you doing? Show me your way, Lord, so I can walk with you. Okay? Are you with me? So he took me to that place, and his answer, right? That's not the answer I wanted. Although I will say I rejoiced in his answer. You want to know why? Because his correction is a comfort to me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He corrected me in such a loving way. He goes, just be patient, Brent. Just be patient. I'm at work. I care about this. This is so important to me. But you've got to let me do what I'm doing, and it's going to require not just my patience. He said, is abide in my patience, because God's patience is perfect. He goes, I've given you my Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. He'll give you the grace to abide in my patience. Just be patient. That was enough. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And I've found that the posture of awareness is a posture of prayer, but it's also a posture towards his word. And God's word is sufficient. The bread he gave me at that table was sufficient to keep me out of the trap of fear. Okay, you with me? So it really made me consider, and I've thought about this, but this week it caused me to consider why our enemy, the devil, has chosen fear so often to be the trap he desires to have us snared in. Why fear? Why fear? And again, we equate fear to a feeling. It is, but it becomes fear when it moves into activity. I have concern. I have apprehensions. I have tensions. Those don't necessarily equate to fear. Fear creates action. When it begins to create action, then it's fear. The action is usually prompted by an attempt to get control. Okay? And so when I'm trying to take control, it creates, now I have to do something. Why does the enemy like that trap of fear so much? Fear, and now I'm going to talk about me. Yeah, you got to decide for yourself where you're at, but I believe this is true. I believe Scripture as a whole points to these things, and it would just make sense. Fear has always, now, I don't tend to use words like always and never, because rarely are they true, but this is true. Fear has always led me away from dependence on God and his faithfulness. Okay, there's reason number one that the enemy likes to use fear. It always, when it's fear, I'm not talking about the feeling, I'm talking about when fear leads to action. Fear has always led me away from dependence on God and his faithfulness. Does that mean I turn my back on God? No. No, it just meant that it leads to self-dependence rather than God dependent. Okay? This is what fear does. This is how the action of fear works. This actually begins to happen when I'm rehearsing all the specifics regarding a difficult situation. All right, so I look at a situation and I'm going, oh my goodness, I know how this is going to play out. Okay, I should stop right there and go, I'm wrong. I don't know how this is going to play out. It's so interesting. I've spent quite a bit of time in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and Solomon says some tough things. But again, it's all got to be in context. But he says something. He says, the wise and the righteous are in the hands of God. Okay? That's what it says. We're in the, and I would say all men are in the hands of God. We're in the hands of God. And he says, but know this, that even if your actions are wise and righteous, you don't know what awaits for you. It may be for good or it may be for evil. That's what it says. We don't know, do we? In the pursuit of righteousness, have you known the hard things that were going to come into your life? And the worst thing that happens is people come in and go, oh, it's a lack of faith. No, it's not. When the clouds are full, it's going to rain, folks. And we don't know how God is weaving this all together for good. We just don't know. And there are things that happen that we don't understand. And so when I look at a situation, I go, I know how this is going to play out. And so I begin to put the facts and the figures together. And what I need to do is I need to get control of this. Okay, be careful right there. Right there is a great place to stop and get your posture on. Okay, God, I feel the tension building. I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I don't take action. What have I done? I'm moving away from a dependence on God, and I'm moving into a dependence on who? Me. Me. Fear has always taken me away from dependence on God and who he is. And it begins when I begin to put all the facts together to gain what? Control. Control. Is there times we have to be in control? What I'm saying is, it's important to stop and get your posture on and go, okay, God, I'm about to take a course of action. But what do you sense happening in here while you're doing that? Like this week, I recognize it's like, oh, that's fear. I'm about to get in the fear trap, and then I get driven. Don't get caught in the fear trap. When you're putting that stuff together and this anxiousness is building, it's like, man, if I don't do this, this is going to happen. Well, you don't know that. You really don't. So it's a great time to stop and go, God, what are you doing right here? I'm posturing myself in prayer. I'm posturing myself over your word. Spirit of God, would you lead me to the table that you've set? Would you correct me or protect me as is necessary so that I remain on the path of life with you in what you're doing and I don't get stuck in the trap of fear? I lose my posture of God awareness and I enter into a posture of self-awareness. That's what begins to happen when I do this. I lose my posture of God awareness. When I'm in the trap of fear, I can say with certainty that I am not aware of what God is doing. I am very aware of what's happening to me. I'm very self-aware, but I have a horrible time with God awareness. Again, I haven't abandoned God. I haven't run away from him. I'm just, that's what happens, right? And if you said you love God, of course I love God. That's why I'm so upset that he's not doing something. Well, he is doing something. I'm just not aware of what it is. Why? Because I'm so aware of what's happening in me. So I do this, as I begin to take hold of those things, and I can say this is exactly what happened. As I begin to, I'm this close to grabbing the bait stick. And I can feel the fear. But in all of this, there's no awareness of what God's doing. It's all an awareness of what I want to see happen or what I think is going to happen. And the Spirit of God goes, but God, don't touch that. Don't touch that. What am I doing? Brent, do you know what I'm doing? No. But God, I'm afraid. Okay? Afraid and fear are different things. God, I'm afraid. I love telling God that now. God, I'm afraid. I have emotions about this. I have history with this. I have past experience with this. I don't want that to happen again. He goes, Brent, I care. I care about you. I care about what's happening. Please let me lead you. Please let me lead you. I want to see you overcome. I am leading you in triumphant procession, but you have got to be aware of what I'm doing and trust me. Be patient today. Okay. Today. I can do it today. Because today is the most important day to God. The very posture of self-awareness screams for control. And once the jaws of the trap are sprung, fear bites hard at my self-awareness. Boy, once you spring the trap, you feel the bite. Fear bites, and it makes you very self-aware of what's going on. And the more aware I am of that, the less aware I am of what God is actually doing. And this is where things get full throttle, right? And I begin to thrash, and I begin to swing. Now the panicked death struggle begins as I flail and thrash to be free. Now, I want to say something, because I said, and this is so true, I've never in these moments turned my back on God and said, oh, I hate God, I don't want God. No, I still love God. And so often in these moments when I've sprung the trap and I feel the fear bite and it's self-aware and things are just going crazy and I'm flailing and I'm doing what I need to do to get out. And this is where that I have screamed to God for help. God, help. Why aren't you helping? And when I am in this state, so where am I? What state am I in? Let's qualify this. I want to make sure you get what I'm saying. What state am I in? I'm in the state of fear. I'm in the trap of fear. Why am I in the trap of fear? Because I chose what? Control. Because I lost my God awareness and I gained a self-awareness. I'm in the trap of fear because I tried to take control. Okay? So I'm in this state and I call out. And when I wrote this down, this is a true statement, and this is not, I don't view this in a punishing way. I just see why it happens. When I am in this state, I have never, there's another one, never and always. I don't use them very often, but when I'm in this state, I have never gotten the help I am desperate for in the form that I wanted from God. Never. And it's disheartening, to say the least. Don't understand why, God, why would you leave me here? And he goes, oh, Brent, I didn't put you there. I didn't put you there. And I need you to respond to me. That's a hard teaching. But I'm applying it to me. When I'm in this state, I have never gotten the help I am desperate for in the form I wanted it. Now, I will say this, I have never had a sense of abandonment in those moments. Never. There's always been hope. And I've always wondered, God, why don't you fix this? I know you're here. I know you're watching. And not with pleasure. I can feel your heart. You're a compassionate God, but you're not responding the way I'm asking you to respond. How come? Well, there's a reason. A good reason. I have known that he hadn't abandoned me, but there was also a waiting in his answer, and I ask why. The answer is that fear never operates from a confidence in God's character. Fear has desperation, it has fight, it has all these things, but it's very self-aware, it's not God-aware, so it doesn't operate out of a faith in God's character. And my definition of faith is a confidence in God's character. Right? I'm not crying out to him because I'm confident in his character, I'm crying out to him because I want him to fix it. I found with my children that there were times I had to let them flail because I had told them and told them and told them and told them, and they persisted in doing it anyway. And it's like, well, sorry you chose that again. Now I'm here and I'm not going to let you die, but I'm also not going to rescue you this time. Anybody else ever do that? Maybe I'm just a horrible dad. But I, and there were times I couldn't help it. I just had to smile. I'm like, I know that you will get it. Both of our kids are grown. And I had somebody tell me between 18 and 23 are the hardest years because they've got their own and you just got to watch. They just got to learn it and, we're just, both of our kids, we just to watch sometimes is painful. I mean, we love them to death, but it's like, well, we have to let you struggle because God will form a strength in this. Now, I'm going to tell you, God was at work even in this. He wasn't doing what I wanted, but he was doing something. In his not acting the way I wanted him to act, he was doing something. He was forming a strength in me that I needed to live free. He never left, he never forsook, but I couldn't understand why he wouldn't respond to the desperateness that was happening in my heart. But fear never operates from a constant confidence in God's character, which is the basis for faith. And fear always steers me into self-dependence rather than God-dependence. And self-dependence is nothing more than undercover pride. Self-dependence is pride. Why? Who am I depending on? Me. Whose wisdom am I depending on? mine? Whose ways am I depending on? Mine. Why? Because when God said, Brent, just be patient, I would have none of it. That's pride. That's pride. Fear and pride. Now I'm not talking about feelings. Remember this. I'm separating fear from feelings. I'm putting fear into action. Fear has action. When fear moves into action, it's pride. It's pride. It walks hand in hand with pride. I don't care if you can see it or not. It's there. Why? Because of the self. It's all self. There is no fear in love. And scripture tells me that when I walk with the shepherd, I will fear no evil. I will not be motivated by the evil to take control. That's what it says. So fear is action. Fear always steers me into self-dependence, and self-dependence is nothing more than undercover pride. How does pride position me? What does scripture tell us? How does pride position me? Pride positions me to be opposed to God, makes me a competitor with God. Ooh, now it's beginning to make sense why the enemy will use fear. You see, the trap of fear is so prevalent because the enemy knows that he's been defeated. There is no doubt in the devil's mind that he has been defeated. Okay? He's not stupid. He knows he's been defeated. He knows the work that Jesus has done. He knows that he set us free. He knows that he has redeemed us. Okay? He knows that he's been defeated by the work of Jesus on the cross. However, if he can get the redeemed children to stand opposed to their heavenly Father in pride, he has gotten them to despise their inheritance and will hold them in his device of captivity as long as we will cooperate. Why fear? Because fear walks with pride. Pride puts us in opposition to God. It goes back to Balaam cursing the Israelites. Balak calls Balaam. He says, I want you to curse these guys. I don't remember. What was it? Three times? Balaam blesses them. And Balak's like, what are you doing? I paid you to curse these guys. He goes, I can't. God won't let me curse them. You understand that as a child of God, there is no wisdom against you. There is nothing the devil can do against you. You are the redeemed. Now, does it always look the way I want it to look? But it doesn't change the fact that that's the truth. Okay? But what does Balaam tell Balak? He goes, I can't curse them, but what you can do is you can get them to enter into sin and then God will curse them. So what they do, they sent all their women down and turned into a big bad party and a plague broke out. Balaam knew all I have to get them to do is to stand in opposition to God. And God will do the work that I can't do. But as for me, there's nothing I can say against them. And that's exactly what happened. And the enemy knows that. He goes, I know you're redeemed. I know what God has done. But if I can get you into the trap of fear, then pride will put you in an opposing role to what God is doing. Now, do you understand why God didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it answered in the midst of my struggle? It wasn't that he didn't care. It wasn't even that he was mad. I had put myself in opposition to what he was doing. God is not a God of yes and no. His yes is yes and his no is no. And he's not going to change his mind. And he will earnestly wait for me. He's like, Brent, I can't honor what you're doing. It is opposed to who I am. I just need you to respond to me. Somebody would say, well, weren't you responding to God? No, I was just saying some words. I wasn't changing my behavior. But in all of that, God's working, right? He's working. That's the wonderful thing about it. Even in the mess, God's working. He's working. He's going, this isn't a lost cause. I'm doing something here. I'm doing something here. And one day you're going to see this, right? All right. So let's keep going. The devil wants us in opposition to who God is. Now, does that mean I don't love him? Nope. It absolutely does not. I don't think my children have ever quit loving me, but there were many times they stood in opposition to what I had asked them to do. And at that point, at least eventually, I came to a place where I said, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to let you walk this one out. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to throw you out. I'm not going to leave you. I'm even going to be near. But there's consequences for this, and we're walking this out. Let's get to the other side of this so we can get on, right? Consider the natural reality of a trap. Have you ever tried to free a trapped, panicked animal from a trap? Have you ever tried to free a trapped animal from a trap? Man, they are clawing, they're snarling, they're biting. If you're going to get them out of there, you better go put your chain mail on because they're going to tear you up. The only way that I can get a trapped animal out of a trap is how? If that animal will relax and relinquish control. It's the only way. Unless I go put on some welding gloves and something else so that I can get control of them and get them out. But the only way out of the trap, okay, because I've ended up in the trap of fear a lot. And the only way out of the trap is to relinquish control back into God's hands and allow him to free us from the trap. Now, it's not that we're not going to get into traps, and maybe we need to know both of these. There's a way to stay out of the trap. But if you find yourself in the trap, right? Remember I said, God, fix this. But I really wasn't saying, God, I'm going to give you control. I'm just like, fix this so I can get out and continue what I was doing. God says, sorry, I can't. I can't. Your will is standing opposed to my will. I won't fix that. I won't fix that. Could God fix it? Sure he could, but he said he wouldn't. And he honors his word, right? But when I stop, and most of the time this is what happens, I stop because I'm tired, I'm worn out, I just don't have the energy to go any farther. And I go, oh God, I need you. Forgive me. Show me your way. And it's at that moment that I sense his activity every time in the situation. Every time. I sense his activity. Not doing what I want him to do, but just working. I lose my self-awareness and I regain my posture of God awareness in that moment. Why? Because in repentance leads to times of refreshing. Right? Right? Psalms 25:15, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. That's a, I'm in the trap first. God, I'm turning my eyes back towards you. God, I tried to gain control. Now I'm stuck. And the flailing is killing me. Right? Remember, we've learned that about the trap. The trap doesn't kill the animal. It's the struggle in the trap that kills the animal. And to stop and go, God, I need to give the control back to you. I need to put this in your hands. I need to be aware of what you're doing because only you can release my feet from the snare. It's always at this juncture that I sense the activity of God in my situation. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, challenges us with some words on this very subject. And again, James is one of those in-your-face guys. He doesn't take the point off anything. He just jabs you hard. But listen to what he says. James 4, verses 5 through 8, and then verse 10. Or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Okay, what do you think of when you read that? I think of being led by the Spirit. He's jealous to lead us. He's jealous to be active in our desires. He's jealous for us to have a posture of awareness of what he's doing. Okay? But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the who? The proud. Now, Peter says the same thing. Okay? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Who are the humble? It's those who are practicing the posture of awareness. God, what are you doing here? I see all the facts. I have all the history. I feel the emotions of the moment. But I'm not just going to try to get control. I am asking you what to do here. What do I do here? Be patient. Or maybe God's going to say, move forward with what's in your heart. You want to know the difference between me gaining control and me moving in God's wisdom? Is he has made the way. If he says, move forward and do this, you need to take action on this. Okay, I will. But as I do it, guess what? I'm going to have my posture of awareness on with every step. I'm not just going to run headlong into it to do what I want to do. It's like, all right, God, if you told me to move forward, then you have a way to move forward. And if I'm going to speak something, I want to speak it as you've spoken it, not just as I would speak it. If I'm going to do something, whether in word or in deed, do it all as unto the Lord, right? But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What am I resisting that the devil's offering? The trap. Where do I begin to resist the devil? When I begin to reach for control. It's not to say that there aren't times when God has given us authority to do things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when your first response is to take control without having a posture of God awareness, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm going to do it. Okay. How does that work for you? Well, it's never worked before, but one of these days. Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What are we doing in a posture of awareness? We're drawing near to God. How? In prayer. We're postured prayer. We're postured over his word. We're drawing near to the things that he has given us to draw near to him. I don't have to feel super spiritual to do this. Matter of fact, I didn't feel super spiritual when God spoke to me this last week when he nudged me. But God, But you know what I did? I stopped and I said, God, I want to draw near to you in this. How do I do that? Love, joy, peace, patience. Be patient. I'm working. Be patient. Okay, God, I will humble myself under your answer. Give me the grace to walk this out. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, double-minded, this isn't the first time you use that term. You go clear back to the beginning of the letter, and he talked about being double-minded right at the beginning, and he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives freely without finding fault. But don't be double-minded. So here we are, somebody stuck in the trap of fear, and he says, you want out? Humble yourself. Respond to what God said and not what you thought was best. That's double-minded. When God speaks, I still have another option. That's being of two minds. Ben, when God speaks, I need to respond, especially if I'm asking. Patience, Brent. Be patient. That was the wisdom of God. Am I going to stand in the fear of the Lord? Am I going to humble myself under the protective cover that he has just given me? Because when I do, what have I turned away from? I've turned away from control. And I've postured myself to be aware of what he's doing. God, I want to see things how you, oh, righteousness. Do you help me to see this how you see it? And even if I can't see it, I just want to know that I'm walking with you in this because you're at work. Guess what flooded into my life at that very moment? Peace. Wholeness, God's sense of wholeness. I got you. I'm not going to abandon you. Come on, let's keep walking. I have some other things for you to give your attention to today. His peace. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Oh, that's exactly what he did. Come on. Don't go down there. You know what's down there. That's never worked. Come with me. Walk with me. Even though you walk through the valley where you can feel it pressing in on you, don't move into fear. I'm with you. I got you. I'm going to take you through. I'm going to lead you in triumphant procession. You're going to see the good that I'm doing, even if you can't see it now. Just don't move into the activity of fear, because control is an illusion. It's an illusion. I have wanted so much to go to Psalm 73. We just haven't got there yet. The psalmist, it's such a good psalm that addresses this, because he looked and thought that the wicked were in control. And he goes, you know what? But when I went into God's sanctuary, what I found out is they weren't. They're a vapor. I'm no more in control. Isn't that strange how we think God gives us control? I'm called to be a sheep. God, help me to be a better follower of you so that you can release life where death reigns. Is the Spirit identifying places in your real-time living where the snares of fear have trapped you? Is the longing for the gift of simplicity becoming stronger than the desire to be in control? This is a promise. I read Psalms 25, verse 15, but I want to read verses 11 through 17 because this is the context. And listen to the promise of Scripture for those who cling to the gift of simplicity. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. My greatest iniquities these days, I think, are pride-based. It's when my life stands in opposition to God because of self-awareness or self-will. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the way that they should choose. Just a posture of awareness and humility. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. It's just a posture of awareness. It's what it is. Verse 15, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. It's interesting that it includes both paths. It includes the path of not getting in the snare in the first place, and it includes the path of what to do when I find myself in the snare. I humble myself. I relinquish control back to you. Only you can release my feet from the snare when I get there, because I do get there. But he says, I would that you wouldn't get there. And here's how you do that. When it comes to a place and you need to make a decision, get your posture on. God, what are you doing here? I've kind of fabricated a solution, but I'm afraid that maybe it's just my self-awareness and self-will that's at work here, and I'd really like to know, is this the path you want me on? Does this line up with your word? Is this what you're doing today? Because so many times, you want to know another way I think you can tell fear, is when you begin to make decisions today to avert trouble tomorrow. I'm not saying that's always bad, but how many times is my decision based on what I'm afraid of tomorrow? And God says, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. Let me walk you through today, and you'll be in the perfect place to start tomorrow. Amen. What a great prayer of simple declaration when we realize we have been snared in all our well-intendedness. I like that. That sums up how I get started towards the trap too. I'm well-intended. So many times I'm well-intended, but I just lose my God awareness. I get consumed in what's happening, and the enemy loves it, because you know what? I'm not out in the world doing the dirty dozen. No, I didn't get drunk. No, I didn't cheat on my wife. No, I didn't smoke a case of Marlboros. No, I didn't do this. I didn't run over the neighbor's cat. Didn't do any of those things. And so many times we can check those things off and we can feel good about that while the whole time we're living in opposition to God. Well-intended. Well-intended. But fear and pride are ugly twins. They're ugly twins. And God says, I want you to be free of this. I want you to live free of this. I want you to know my peace. But Jesus say, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. How does the world find peace? Through the illusion of control. But it never lasts, does it? It's one of the sayings. If you're going to maintain peace, then you're preparing for war. Like, that's just kind of how it works in the world. God says, let me lead you. Let me lead you. Get your posture on. And I don't live in a constant state. I'm not that holy. Right? I'm not that righteous. Boy, I'll tell you what, there are just times now when I begin to step into something and I sense the nudge of the Spirit going, stop, 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 don't do that. Let's talk about this. Okay, you're doing something, aren't you, God? What is it? What is it? Was I groveling before God? No. Was it humility? Yes. Why? Because I love him and his plan. I really do. I don't do it perfect by any means, but I need something I can apply every day, and I feel like God has given me something that I can apply every day, and I hope you can apply or begin or whatever, wherever you're at. You just begin to take the steps to go, God, I want to have that awareness of you and what you're doing and be less reliant on just what I tend to default to. I want to make these course corrections. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your nudges and your shouts. We thank you that you are with us. We know, God, that you want us to live free. Your word says that you have not made us a slave again to fear, but you have given us your spirit, and by him we cry, Father, Father. God, we want to live free from the trap of fear, but we understand that our well-intendedness towards control leads to pride and fear. There is no fear in love, for fear is for punishment. God, we just want to find ourselves walking with you, hearing from you, entering into the things that you have prepared for us. And in every situation, God, we invite you to come and to lead us. Would your nudge be evident? Would your shouts and your whispers be heard in our lives? God, would we not kick against the goads, as you said to Paul? We would not kick against the pricks of our heart, but that we would respond in humility, and that we would find your grace abundant and your peace surpassing. That we would resist the devil, and God, we would see him in flight. And that as we draw to the end of each day, that there would be a rejoicing in our hearts for a day spent with an awareness of who you are and what you're doing, and that we would see the fruit that you are producing. You said that as we abide in Jesus, as we abide in your word, that you would prune us so that we would be fruitful. For you are glorified when we bear good fruit. God, we want to be fruitful in your kingdom, participating in your plan. Help us to abide in the gift of simplicity. We thank you for all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.